being a part of these calls. It's nice to have them back, and we look forward to doing more of them. Without any further ado, I'm going to turn things over to Shawn Michaels.
Saying hello to everybody. And again, yeah, like Adam said, thank you guys for being a part of this. I wanted to, I don't know, at least try to get back to these. I feel like I have to live up, and step into the shoes of Hunter's, and what he did here and in these calls. I don't know that I'll do that, but I'm certainly, more than happy to give it a whirl. Again, I'm just looking for us to, to get back to, having an open line of communication. Continuing to be able to do these things, have a little bit of more, give everybody a little bit more of an idea of what it is we're doing here at NXT. And felt like Halloween Havoc was a perfect time to do it. I really feel like this is going to be, from an NXT standpoint, I feel like this is going to be equivalent to our SummerSlam. I feel like it's going to be the second biggest, sort of premium live event on our schedule, only behind Stand and Deliver. But everybody, this one just feels different to me and for us here. It feels big, feels important. I feel like, down the road, Halloween Havoc will be more identified with NXT than it is anything else. And I know from a talent standpoint and just internally here in Orlando at the Performance Center, everybody's really jacked and excited about this one. Braun and Ilya and JD in the main event. Again, the UK talent that's come over here has been unbelievably, off the top, just off the hook successful for us. And they've all been incredibly excited to be a part of it. So I know those guys are going to obviously tear down the house. And, we've got Mandy and Alba in the women's championship match. Roxanne and Cora in a Weapons Wild match. And I don't know if there's another match on the card that epitomizes what NXT is now, which is two talent, and the average age is probably a ripe old 21. which is that's mind-boggling. Yeah, a premium live event, and, one of them's 20, and I think the other one's 22, which is just – but that is, as you guys are all figuring out, and along with us, that's what NXT has become. Ladder match, those guys are going to just tear the house down, I know, and I can't wait to see that one. That's going to be the one where I'm going to have to, see if there's any way to reel those boys in, but that one's going to be fantastic. Apollo and Grayson, spin the wheel, make the deal. That'll be exciting just to see what happens. And the one that's kind of a sleeper to me, which is Julius Creed and Damon Kemp. And those are just two guys that, again, sort of epitomize what NXT is all about. Two college athletes coming in from an amateur background and really have turned into special performers, but in very different ways. And so it's a cool show, but it's sort of encapsulating what we feel is, and I don't think it's a new vision. I think it's the original vision of what NXT was supposed to be, which is, taking these young athletes, these young performers, and getting them ready for Raw and SmackDown. They're doing this on a show that, could possibly be, at least up there with y'all's picks of what's, one of the best premium live events from a WWE standpoint, from a company standpoint, putting on it. And for, the average age of the people on this entire card is probably about 27. So anyway, I just wanted to, run down the card, obviously. Excited to have Dave LaGreca from SiriusXM Busted Open on the pre-show tomorrow. And just wanted to give you guys, so pardon my rambling. I guess, it sucks already. So sorry. an exclusive that, the next NXT premium live event is going to be on December 10th. And it is going to be known as NXT Deadline. And, So that's just something I wanted to, I don't know, at least put out there right now. You know, you'll find out more about that, obviously, in the future. But NXT Deadline is coming Saturday, December 10th. And obviously, we are excited about that. And again, excited about everything that here in NXT, because it feels like a new era. And we're all pretty jazzed about it. So anyway, I'll stop there and we can start getting to the questions if you want.
Hold on one second.
And I guess, you know, Adam reminded me, and I guess somebody will ask about it, right? So I certainly might as well comment now. You know, want to obviously send our condolences, you know, to Kevin Nash, you know, for the tragedy that he suffered a couple of days ago. Look, and we just offer our, you know, our prayers and our thoughts and our condolences to, you know, to him and Tamara. I'm just going to leave it at that. It's a terrible loss, and, you know, we're going to be there for everybody, plain and simple. So, sorry to bring you down there. If you guys want to get to questions, let's go ahead and roll if you'd like.
All right, folks, if we can do one question per outlet, that would be great. Rachel, we're ready for questions.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. Our first question comes from Mike Johnson with PWInsider.com.
Hold on. Before we proceed, Sean, you don't know the history. Mike Johnson is typically the first question on all of these.
Okay, tremendous, right? I was going to say, but we keep the game alive. Right? That's awesome.
All right, glad to continue to streak. Hey, Sean, I think I speak for everybody when we say thank you for the open lines of communication and the return of these calls, so thank you for that. I want to ask you about your own experiences overseeing NXT in your new role. Like, the last year and a half has been pretty tumultuous. We had Paul's health issues, and then the launch of NXT 2.0, which was going to create feedback no matter what, given how much the black and gold version of the brand was loved. Then we have the regime change with Paul, Nick, and Stephanie taking over, and NXT sort of leaning back towards a lot of the original core elements. Can you reflect on what this experience has been like for you, what you've learned and grown and figured out about yourself over the course of being in that position and overseeing so many talents as Senior VP of Talent Development Creative? Like, what's this experience been like for you?
It's been so obviously incredibly challenging, but I feel like one of the greatest, I don't know, learning experiences of my career. Again, so as cool as the performing aspect was of my career, I never imagined doing what I am doing now. I guess on one way, secretly, there's a part of me on the inside where I go, geez, I'm pretty proud of you, Sean. You've actually turned up into a full grown adult. And again, I just never thought, saw that happening. But look, you find out what you can, I don't know, handle. And again, I like the idea of testing and stretching myself. So look, it was sort of trial by fire, which again, I think at least at this point in my life is no longer, I don't know, intimidating or scary as it is sort of like fun and challenging. And look, and that might be because I feel like, you know, it's much later in life. And if I fail, I was able to tell everybody, look, if this goes wrong, you got to hit the bus with me. I'm the fall guy. I'm the one that's got to take it. But at least, you know, and certainly I was able to do that as we got down the road a little bit. Can I at least do it kind of on my own terms? And so, look, it was a great learning experience. It was intimidating at first. It was hard. I came here just to, you know, as a coach at first, coaching 2 hours a day, but then and as things increased, but it was still just as number two, you know what I mean? And to be there to step in temporarily when Hunter wanted some time off, it was in no way, shape, or form as I prepared to take over everything, but it's been pretty fascinating. I feel like I've learned a lot. And look, I also feel like it's been exciting as well. And myself, the talent, the crew that is here, we've all become closer in the process. And believe it or not, I think that's shown on, you know, from a television standpoint. I think you can see where, you know, we sort of got, you know, we started out a little rough. We got our sea legs, and then all of a sudden we started rolling pretty good. So I think what you saw almost on television mirrored what was going on behind the scenes. It was just sort of caught us off guard. We did our best to adjust. You know, we certainly stumbled up at first, but then we started, you know, getting to know each other. So we all started to know what our roles were in these new positions. And even from a talent standpoint, got more confident together, grew together. And now I think we're probably closer in this, you know, performance center than we've ever been.
All right. Thank you for the question.
Thank you.
We will take our next question from Maddie Paddock with Daily Star. Your line is open.
Hi, Sean. Good to talk to you. You mentioned there,
thank you very much.
You mentioned there just talking about how you've, I think you said, grown into a full adult in terms of the behind-the-scenes stuff you've been doing. Now, obviously, with your coaching and executive roles, you are uniquely placed to see the pressures that the talent in the modern day are working under. And I just wonder how your perspectives in that regard have changed maybe over the last 20, 30 years, and maybe how Shawn Michaels of maybe 1992 to 1997 might have coped in the modern day?
Well, look, all I know is he didn't cope with it great in that day. But that's one of the things that I certainly try to use here. I'm not afraid to be a cautionary tale to the young men and women that come through this place. If there's anything that I can do to help them, I absolutely do that. One of the things that's one of the most important things to me is for them not to feel like they can't express what's going on inside their heart, inside their mind. Tolerance is a huge thing here. We have to have it for one another. And I know the struggles that I had mentally sometimes going on, and I don't want them to have it. So again, I just think that's something that, you know, an open line of communication. Nothing is silly. Nothing is unimportant. If it's a big deal to you, then it's a big deal to us, and let us try to help you through it again. And I recognize that, I don't know, for my generation, you know, back in my day, you know, I don't want to foster that. I don't want to feed that. I think it's okay. I don't care if we're a softer, gentler generation. I got to be honest. I don't care if that's how everybody sees them. I want them to, at least, it's going to get hard enough when you get up to, you know, the main roster and the pressures and all that kind of stuff. I'm not doing it here. I want them to be comfortable. We're going to do everything we can to prepare them. I want to, you know, we'll let them know it may not be the same, but at the same time, I want this to be a fun experience. Again, it was mentioned earlier, you know, Mike said it, you know, it's like the college, you know, a college atmosphere. That's what we want here. We want this to be a great experience. When you get into the pros, you go to the main roster and it becomes about business. I understand that, but here I want you to know it can be fun. We want to be there for you. I don't care if we have to be, and we always talk about it, we have to be part psychiatrist or, you know, help in any other way or parents, that's fine. That is the role here. That's why I stay here. I mean, I love that. And again, I'll be more than happy to be a cautionary tale and help people through whatever it is they might be struggling with down here because, you know, I don't know. I don't want to namby-pamby it, but I that was the greatest thing about my click buddies, I guess, is that I could at least tell them. And hell, obviously knows, everybody on this phone call knows it didn't help me that much. I still managed to screw it up. And so I just don't want that for any of the young men and women that are coming through this place.
Thanks, Sean. Appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you.
We will take our next question from Jason Powell with Pro Wrestling. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hey, Sean. Naturally, Paul Levesque and Vince McMahon are going to have different tastes. Have you altered your approach due to that changing of the guard? It seems like maybe one example might be some smaller wrestlers are being featured more than it seems like they would have under the old regime.
Yeah, well, certainly so. When 2.0 first launched, again, you sort of get a, again, there was a little bit of, you know, I guess micromanaging at first, you know what I mean? And almost, again, a certain way, yeah. I mean, look, a game plan, if you will, marching orders, so to speak. But then as we, you know, as you get down the road, look, at some point, and again, I want to say right before maybe Stand and Deliver, it was just about really having a conversation and saying like, hey, can we just talk? Again, I'm a good soldier. I'll do absolutely whatever you want. But we are down here, like on the grounds. We're here, and I feel like I know what you want, but can I go about it sort of in a different way? And can I go about it my way and integrate it? You know, again, we'll still get these young men and women into the system. We'll still get them on television, but I need to do it, you know, in a way that works for them. We know their limitations. We know what they're able to do, what they're not able to do. I feel like we have the ability to put them in better situations for success. Would you mind, again, it's where I had the, look, if somebody gets hit by the bus, it's gotta be me. But will you trust me, you know, to do that? And again, it was just, you know, getting to have that conversation, and it was right before Stand and Deliver. And that's when we sort of, again, I felt like we kind of turned the corner, because again, and look, in their defense, look, some of it, look, maybe it's different tastes, but they were also dealing with a guy, me, who hadn't been in that role. You know what I mean? And I don't blame anybody for not being sure, again, you know, because again, they hadn't seen me do it before. So some of it, I think, probably might have been me having to earn my stripes as well, which I certainly didn't have a problem with. But eventually we got to a point to where the trust factor was there, and we were able to take the reins over a little bit more. And now, obviously, Hunter, you know, obviously trusts me a great deal. And it is different. And now, again, you can see it. The synergy is different. The feel is different. But again, we're now acting as if we're all under one big umbrella. And look, I'm not going to insult anybody on this call, but we just know that, yeah, we were kind of a separate entity unto ourselves at the other time. And now that's just not the case. And that makes it, again, those things alone make it easier. And again, like I said, Hunter's, you know, for the most part, to put it this way, now I really can say, it was partially true before, but if you don't like it now, that's on me. Sorry. You know what I mean? And I'm okay with that. But you know, again, I also, again, let's put it this way. And I know I'm babbling a bunch, so I'll put it this way. I was told to build a car. I can build you a car, but I was told you get to use these pieces and these tools. I can still build a car. Now I'm able to build a car, but I'm allowed to use any piece I want, any tool I want. I can still build a car, but I can build you a heck of a lot better car. And I think that's the difference. And that's where we're at now. Everybody signed off. They were getting bored to death on that one. They're like, oh my God. Somebody shut him up.
And we'll take our next question from Stephanie Chase with Digital Spy. Your line is open.
Hi, Sean. Great to talk to you today.
Thank you very much.
We've been seeing that you did some training with Logan Paul this week. What was that like? How is he taking to wrestling, in your opinion? And how do you compare what it was like to work with him and some of the young, greener talent you've been working with in NXT?
Well, so working with him was, it really was fun. I mean, he's a bright kid. And again, I didn't know him. Clearly, I'm, you know, whatever. I am a square. Obviously, I know of him. But, you know, I saw what he did at Mania, and I just thought he was clearly, he You could tell that he was somebody that committed. I know the stuff he's done in the past with the boxing. When he jumps into something, he's going to go all in. He works really hard. So I was curious to, I don't know, to see how much time and effort he was putting into this. And I get, like I said, he requested this. I jumped at the opportunity because I was just really curious. But he's actually, again, he's a nice kid. Clearly he's bright. He does work really hard. The difference, but that you say is that, so, you know, obviously because he's got a big platform, so he comes in at a certain spot, shall we say, that none of our, you know, our young talent is going to really come in at. And he has, you sort of have to put the cart before the horse with somebody like him. You come in, he's in this match at WrestleMania, so you kind of maybe just train him for what he's going to do there at that one match. And that's one of the things he and I talked about yesterday was, hey, you know, while you're doing this, we got to go back and make sure we teach you some of those foundational, fundamental principles that will better link all of this stuff together. You know what I mean? He's sort of, again, because of his popularity, they kind of start him like at 5 years down the road, but he's still in day one, or, you know, whatever, the first 6 months, you know, training wise. So that's one of the things that I felt, again, if we could go back and treat him teach him some of the, you know, fundamentals, I think that'll really help him kind of understand at a better level, how you link all those other pieces that he's learning together. And I hope that makes sense. But again, I really did. I found him to be, again, a very bright kid, nice guy. He's got a great crew around him. They seem to be good boys. So it was a lot of fun. Getting to be the cool kid in class for a day was pretty cool yesterday.
Thank you, Sean.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much.
And we will take our next question from John Alba with Podcast Network.
Hey, Sean, thank you so much for the time today. I want to ask you about Carmelo Hayes. He had an interview with The Ringer this week, and he mentioned how helpful that you in particular have been, and he's certainly not shied away from posting about that on social media in the past. How much have you taken to working with him, and how far away do you believe he is from being a significant contributor for WWE on the main roster level?
I have taken interest in Melo from day one, and I can, you know, again, I can remember wanting to, I got him on just on television as quickly as I could. But at the time it was still 205 Live at that time. And of course, you know, I was talking to him and I said, look, I know you don't want to, you know, I just wanted to get you out there and get you, in front of the people and in front of Hunter at the time. And he's like, yeah, well, cause I don't want to, you know, I don't want to be limited to 205. And I said, but for me, it was more important to get you out there so that, you know, everyone could see like this kid can go. Anyway, Carmelo and I get along great. He's a good kid. I think the sky's the limit for him. He's special. He's talented. And he is, you know, we have a lot of talks. He's, you know, I gave him the, you know, the same line that I was given many, many years ago, which is go ahead and push the envelope, go out there, let me pull you back. And he does, and I've seen that he's mentioned it, like, yeah, Sean's had to pull me back a couple times, and that is true. But again, he is, he's never, I don't know, he never complains about it. He's a pro too. I guess I like that about him as well. He's got a lot of charisma. He's got a lot of ability. He's got a lot of attitude, but he really is. He's a respectful young man. And look, that's what's so great about a lot of people down here. We've got some really talented people. You know what I mean? And they're darn good, you know, young men and women of character too. So I think I'll say this to answer your question. I mean, he's ready anytime somebody wants him. I think, you know, again, of course he's only going to get better. Can he always learn more? You bet. But all of us can. But he's certainly ready whenever they want to take him, because I think, you know, he's going to go up there and be with people better than him, and that's how you improve in this line of work.
Great, thank you.
You betcha. Thank you very much.
We will take our next question from Alistair McGeorge with Metro UK.
Hi, Sean. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Alistair. How are you doing?
Good. Yeah, not too bad, thanks. You've alluded to, obviously, the synergy and integration between NXT and the main roster, which is a huge positive. But there's also, I guess, the challenge of finding a balance where you could have, say, a talent like Roxanne impress on SmackDown, and there's a chance of losing a talent like that to the main roster before you planned on it. So how do you strike that balance when it comes to your role and your position in the company?
Well, look, the one thing that we kind of pride ourselves on here, look, I'll say this, given what we've been through in the last year, somebody snatching a talent out from underneath us, we go, that's the kind of trouble we want. We don't mind that, because that means we're doing our job. And so it creatively, sure, it can, you know, cause a few hitches in our giddy up, but I'll tell you what, I think for the most part, like right now, I mean, I can't imagine that happening. You know what I mean? Because I just feel like the communication is such that, again, you know, Hunter says, we're looking to take her. When's the time we can, you know, when can you get her finished up by? Or like, holy cow, we want her right now. We're going to take her. But how can we, is there a way we can button this up on the other side? I mean, we will figure out whatever it is creatively we have to do. But our goal is to get our talent to the main roster. So I will. And again, that's different sort of than it was before, I think. Again, everything else we have, we've always talked about getting prior knowledge or getting a little note, a little communication so we could prepare. For the most part, that didn't happen. but now we're sure it will. And if it didn't, I don't know. Again, that's the kind of trouble we don't mind. We adjust to everything down here, because that's the gig. Everybody here understands that. Our job is to get them up to the main roster. If that's the biggest hassle we have down here, that's one we're willing to take, because at least it means we're doing our job well.
Thanks, Jason. Take care.
Yeah, thank you, Alistair.
Our next question comes from Sal Cano with Record of Mexico.
Hi, Sean. Good morning. How are you doing?
Doing well, sir.
Okay. For us in Mexico, Halloween Havoc 97 was special because of that match between Rey Mysterio and Eddie Guerrero. And I have two quick questions for you. How important will you give this match to the new generation of Mexican wrestlers, luchadors, who are currently in WWE, and with so much respect, and talking about Eddie and a friendly tone, who will have won that dream match between the Heartbreak Kid and Eddie Guerrero? Thank you so much.
Well, I think, look, I'll say this, it's going to be hard, but I'm biased. It's going to be hard to beat Eddie Guerrero and Rey Mysterio, Halloween Havoc, for a number of reasons. I think what you're talking about from a Hispanic standpoint, I don't know. Those guys, I don't know. They're being at the top of that hill for a long time, and everybody aiming to it. But the inspiration that they bring, I think that's the biggest thing. I think if you were to ask, Ray today, I think, he too would be someone that was amazed at what he's been able to inspire, to younger generations now, probably beyond his wildest dreams. And I know Eddie would feel the same way. And so, look, for us, and we just, we lost gladly, Legado del Fantasma, and Santos and the crew. Again, a couple Halloween Havocs ago, what they did, what do we call that? The Day of the Dead, you know? Yeah. And I, but so that was kind of a, that was their way of calling back, to that. And look, that's always going to be the next thing for us. We're thrilled that they're on the main roster now, but now who's going to be that next, I don't know, that next Hispanic superstar to come through NXT and look to do just what you said, you know, start to forge a different legacy. And can it be as impactful as an Eddie Guerrero or a Rey Mysterio? Look, that's what we're always looking to find here in NXT. But I tell you, you know, those two guys set the bar really high, and you know, gladly, you know, the case for you know, for them, I'm sure, and certainly for all of us. But look, we're looking forward to see who's gonna to go after that. Right now, after Santos and Legados, right now I think that's where we're at here in NXT. Looking to see who is gonna be the next Hispanic superstar that can sort of take that place.
Thank you so much.
And as far as asking who would win between Eddie and I don't know. You know, that's one I get. So I've always heard that one, and that was one nobody ever, I get, me and Eddie never ever came across like my desk, so to speak, but I've heard that, I don't know, that somebody pitched it at a creative meeting. It would have been a blast to do. Look, I think that's one good thing. I guess Eddie and I, certainly where we were at, you know, later on in our careers, we'd have probably argued about who was putting who over. You know what I mean? So neither one of us would have had a problem. That's for sure. It would be my honor to put Eddie Guerrero over.
Thank you so much, Sean.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Vinod Ramakrishnan with News 18 India. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you. Hi, Sean. My question to you is, you know, with this regime change, so to speak, one of the things from an Indian interest point is the return of Veer Mahan to NXT and aligning himself with Sangha. There were, you know, a deal earlier on. So I just wanted to know your thoughts on that and this, you know, coming back together, you know, how you've seen both these guys, these two big guys. I mean, we don't generally associate that with Indian talent. So your thoughts on that and what's the future for these two guys at NXT?
Well, look, I'm not sure. So I guess like the main roster took Veer. I'm not sure if they had certain plans for him. So we had Sangha down here, and when you get to know him, he is absolutely he's an amazing, I don't know, intelligent, bright, you know, man. And just, and he is really what we were putting him on television doing was who he is. And we just found that to be captivating because he's a huge man, but he's charming as all get out. And so we just, you know, we were like, oh my goodness, let's just do that. I mean, for, you know, oh my, you know, it's how long have we done the, you know, he's angry and beats everybody up. And sort of that's what we felt, I don't know, it appeared that that's what they were doing with Veer. So when the opportunity came that he was coming back to NXT, we just so didn't want to do that. We just felt like, look, I'm not going to lie. I mean, I think, you know, whatever, like they're called wrestling tropes or whatever. And sometimes, look, I'm of the, I don't know, of the cloth that, you know, if you're not changing, if you're not evolving, you're standing still, you're going backwards. And neither one of them do I want to do. And so they are both just such clean, classy, sharp, really nice guys. So we wanted to present them that way. They're just really classy. And so we just thought like, why don't we just do that and sort of present them as who they are. And then, now I'm not going to give you the whole, you know, the whole skinny, on what we're doing, but we think we've got something, pretty cool and fun. But again, we wanted it to come in the package that it currently is, which is really, who they are, because they're unbelievably, you know, smart, bright, intelligent, again, classy men, and that's certainly the way we want to portray them.
Great, thank you.
You betcha.
All right, folks, we have time for two more questions.
Our next question comes from Jim Varsalone with Miami Herald. Please go ahead.
Hey, reiterating what Mike said, these calls are important, so thank you for doing them, and good job so far.
Thank you.
Hey, you mentioned Corey and Roxanne, younger talent on Halloween Havoc, and I'm curious, Ava Rain and Belly Lareda, two more younger talents, wondering how they're doing, and could we possibly see them wrestle House Show TV 2022 or more likely 2023?
So, look, both are coming along great. I don't want to give all the trade secrets and stuff, but, look, I think easily, in my opinion, so 2023 for sure, but they're both getting awfully darn close. So they, you know, certainly might from a live event standpoint. And I think Valerie's done one or two, I think, out on the road. So she's already getting there, but absolutely. And I know, you know, Ava obviously has done, we've had to do some promos and stuff like that. We do a lot of, obviously, stuff here in the Performance Center. But, yeah, I would easily, both of them, maybe by the end of the year, but absolutely 2023 and certainly in the future. So they're very close.
Thank you.
You bet.
Okay, final question.
And our next question comes from Luca Carbonero with Tom's Hardware of Italy. Please go ahead.
Hi, Sean. Greetings from Italy. Thank you for being here. So I want to talk to you about NXT Europe. It was a huge announcement replacing NXT UK. I'm curious to know if you will look for talent in Italy and if we will we ever see a big show in Italy.
So, yeah, very excited about NXT Europe. And, yeah, you're talking, you know, so we do. It's NXT Europe and so that is one of the things that we've talked about, which is, you know, some of it's just selfishly, we got to go to Italy. So absolutely. And so we are, because we're looking, we're trying to get all of our ducks in a row. We're going to start here very soon in 2023. And we've already got talks going, you know, for that. And sort of going to do what we can to start reaching out in 2023 and hoping to have some big announcements not too far in the future in regards to NXT Europe and, you know, some other hopeful big surprises coming down the road. But absolutely, when we say Europe, we do. We want it to be all-encompassing. And look, for the years, again, that, you know, all of us, you know, the pandemic and stuff and sort of coming out of that. I don't know. I'm sure it hasn't happened as fast, certainly, again, for you all in Italy as it has other places. But we are cognizant of that. And that's certainly one of the things we want to make sure we rectify in 2023, which is truly, again, being able to get out more. And that's, you know, again, from an NXT standpoint in general. We recognize and understand that sort of, you know, again, we know our role here and we understand that, but we've got a, you know, we've got an exciting and passionate fan base, whether it's NXT domestic or NXT Europe. And it's time for us now to start getting out there on the road a little bit. And so we are very excited that those, you know, kind of things that we feel are very close to coming down the pike there in 2023, And again, I think that just adds sort of to the momentum that NXT, certainly we feel like we have now coming at, going into Halloween Havoc and certainly to the end of the year now with the new announcement of Deadline. So we're looking for 2023 to kind of be sort of, a new sort of breakout year for NXT, which is something, a brand that's been around, but it's sort of like a rebirth of NXT. And we're excited about what's coming down the pike.
Thank you very much, Sean. Appreciate it.
All right, everybody, that'll wrap up today's call. I'm going to turn it over to Sean for some closing comments.
Yeah, so, and again, I mean this sincerely. So, look, this is the first time I've done this. I do want to do this stuff, but again, and again, you don't have to say it on here or whatever, but if you want to give feedback to Adam and or whatever, like what I could do better or, you know, or I don't know, specifics, or he's too big or, you know, or I don't know. I want to do this stuff. I want to be good at this job. I want to, you know, cultivate, you know, a relationship, but I know that I'm, sometimes I don't have, believe it or not, I don't have all the information. You want some of the inside skinny. I purposely stay out of that stuff because I found it to be a hassle. That's why I stayed here in Florida, boys and girls. So, but look, I don't know. I just appreciate y'all doing this. Appreciate y'all being patient with me. And seriously, appreciate the help on you guys getting us out there. This, when everything's said and done, this isn't about me. It is. It's about NXT, and it really is about the young men and women that come through this place. I want to do everything I can to help them, and one of those things is to ask you guys to help them as well. And look, if you don't mind doing that, I sure as heck will appreciate it. And if you don't want to, man, I get it. I understand. But you know, just, I don't know. Hope we can continue to do this. And if you got some tips or whatever that I need to be better at, feel free, man. I am, I stopped taking it personal a long time ago. So I'll take any advice I can get. So anyway, that's it for me. And thank you all very much.
And we will do it again on Saturday night after Halloween Havoc completes. We will do another post-show conference call. So more information to come on that. Thank you, everybody, and have a great day.